لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وأصحابه كما أراد أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله All praise and all glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and complete salutations and perfection be upon our noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his noble family and upon the noble companions and all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal shower upon you all on this glorious and beautiful day of Jumu'ah in this beautiful and sacred month of Zulhijjah. And may our attendance become a means for our forgiveness, guidance, pardon and success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. The world that we live in currently and from the beginning of time has always been in a constant and perpetual state of trials, tribulations and turmoil. We only need to look around now currently across the pond and look at what's happening in France, look at the unrest within France, and also look to our brothers and sisters in Palestine and the suffering that they are undergoing, and look towards other countries throughout the world and within our homes and also within our communities. There is no one, no matter how great a saint or knowledgeable person they may be, there is no one in this world, no being who is not trialed or tested in different ways by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that insha'Allahul Aziz we will touch upon today to try to understand that the life that we are going to live, whether we are a prophet or a messenger or a layman, we will always be trialed by Allah azza wa jal. But how do we overcome those trials and tribulations? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his infinite wisdom, has created us all with tests. This is one of the designs of Allah Azza wa Jal, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He created us, gave us life, and also causes us death. Why? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. To see which one of us carries out good deeds. This life is a life of trials and tribulations. And these tests are inherently designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change us and to also to challenge and to transform us. Therefore, every single one of us, whether we are young, whether we are in our youth, or whether we are at our old age, we must always be ready for those tests that will be sent forth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way or form. And in the last few weeks, we've been talking about the test of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam with his son, and similarly, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam himself with his own family members, and the test that we all face within our internal and external capacities. So today, inshallah, we'll very quickly talk about those tests and then see how it connects us back to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family, for we are still in the month of Zulhijjah. Allah Azza wa Jal, in the glorious Quran, He reminds us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. That, O who you believe, people of Iman, this is a very, very dear and direct address that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us, that whenever you have any problem, any difficulty, whether it is marital between your spouse, whether it is between your family or your khandan, whether it is in your own health and your well-being, whether it be financial, whether it be something within your home or your job or your children, all problems that you have, who should we always turn to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you have iman, and if you believe in me, and if you trust in me, then turn to me with all of your problems. No, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can alleviate your problems. So come to me. Do you know how some rich people or affluent people or people who have connections, they say, oh, come to me, I'll sort it out. Or your parents, our parents say to us, as in children, come to me, I would have sorted it out for you. Your teacher would have sorted it out for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, people of iman, first and foremost, strengthen your iman, in your yaqeen, in your conviction, in your tawakkul in me, and turn to me. That is the first step for you to overcome any particular challenge in your life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that ista'inu bis-sabr. Then seek assistance through patience. Then you need to be patient. And patient means that you need to understand that this is everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is from your family or from your enemies. Kul kullu min indillah. Everything happens by the decree or the will or the izn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So understand that it is Allah in control, that Allah is the one who has sent this test your way, whatever means that He has chosen. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, be patient. Your victory will come maybe today or tomorrow, in a week or a month, perhaps in a decade. But be patient with what you face and what you are suffering. And how can you alleviate your problem and your difficulty? Bis-sabri was-salah. This is the third most crucial step. That come to me, get even closer to me. How? In salah, in ibadah, in worship. And then you will be able to overcome these things. Now ask yourself truthfully, wholeheartedly, any problems that occur in our lives, especially if you're struggling with the cost of living, you're struggling with your spouse or your partner or your children, you're struggling with your khandan or any other problem, in national or international problem that you have, the first thing is we always question Allah. We question our iman, why me, why this, why that? This is not us having faith in Allah, this is us having doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second, instead of being patient and accepting the qadr of Allah, we end up becoming, you know, all over the place, this and that, and we lose our control and our senses. No, you're supposed to have patience. And the third, instead of going and bowing down and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we look here and there, try to find other means of antidepressants or medication or somebody to soothe us, to reassure us, to say it's going to be okay. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told you, have faith in me, have patience and come to me, and I will alleviate all of your things. So ask yourselves, what are your three steps that you do when you have any suffering in your life? And what are the three steps that Muslims should do when they have any particular challenge in their life? Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, and it's narrated in the books of history, that he returned back from one of his trips. And as he returned back, he was informed by his companions and by his family members that his own brother had passed away. As soon as he heard this, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas, he went and he performed wudu. After performing wudu, and then he went and he prayed two raka'at. So people turned around and said, "Ya Abbas, you know, we just told you your brother, your own blood, you know, essentially your sibling, he has passed away. You didn't ask us when did he pass away, how did he pass away, why did he pass away. You didn't ask us any of these things," which is what we would do as well. X, Y, and Z. And he simply replied that, my Lord, the one who is most kind and most benevolent, the one who is most merciful, he instructed me that when I have any problem, come to me. Have faith in me. So Allah told me to be from the patient. And Allah told me to be from those people who established the salah. Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. And therefore that's exactly what I did. And I have found sukoon. I have found solace. I have found purpose and meaning and understanding behind everything, in all the things that are around me. Therefore I am not all over the place. I am at peace within myself. And this is why the reactions of those people without faith And the reactions of people with faith is very different, on opposite sides of the spectrum. So we all are undergoing various problems and challenges within our own personal and communal lives, but we need to always take those three steps, which is to have faith in Allah Azza wa Jal, to have patience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah. Why? Because when you do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, that I will truly would be with those people who had iman, and then who came to me, and who were patient, and then who prayed towards me. I will be with those people of true patience. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change your hal. He will change sickness into health. Who can do that? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will change your poverty into wealth. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will change your stress and transform it into joy. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even in death, He will show you the beauty of life that is awaiting you in the hereafter. So all of these things can be transformed, these tests, but they will only be transformed when you have faith, when you have patience, and when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of us, we do not have that strong faith. We do not have that patience when the sadma, these calamities affect us, and neither do we go and pray to Allah Azza wa Jal. Prayer is the last thing that we do because we're so worried about all of the things that are around us. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to those. Whom? To every single person who's being tested? No. To the ones who are solely patient? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't saying to every single person, give them bashara. To every single person being afflicted, to every single person who is being patient, because many people are patient because they have no other option. Somebody's died, what can you do? Can you bring them back to life? No. Your house is on fire, can you stop your house from being on fire and resurrect it? You can't do anything. So some people are patient because they have no other option. But this is not the bashara that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that give my bashara, the glad tidings, to those who are truly patient. No, patience here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning with those people who are content in and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the bashara, that I took his son away, I took her daughter away, I took the parents away, I took the wealth away, I took the health away, I took everything away, but my abd, my servant, my slave is still happy with me. Give that person my bashara. Give that person my bishara that I am happy with you. Why? Because he is and she is content with me, with whatever hal or state that I keep you in. That is the true patience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to accept the qadr, His command, His hukum, and only expect a reward from Him and nobody else. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Qur'an, وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا. What is their reward for their patience? What patience? Just ordinary patience? That after you scream and shout and you say, chalo tika, Allah ni marzi? No, that's not the patience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. The patience that it affected you and immediately you turn to your Lord and say, Allah, I accept your decree. You turn to your Lord and you said, Allah, I am patient because you've commanded me. And you've turned to Allah Azza wa Jal in your salah. This is the patience and this is the bashara. صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحَرِيرًا. Jannah, which is waiting for you, that felicity. أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. That these people of true patience, of acceptance of the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal, they will receive these lofty palaces and mansions given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of one core thing, because of their patience. And the patience can only come because of your iman. And the patience will lead you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to your ibadah. So when the calamity hits you, whether you're thinking of France or Palestine or Pakistan or within your home and the problems that are ensuing within your home, your house is getting damaged, there's an accident, there's a fire, you're fired from your job, you're suffering in your health, or you've just found out that you've got cancer, stage 4. All of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبًا, that when the musibah afflicts them, at that very point, At that very time, this is a crucial thing to understand. إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً قَالُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً ثُمَّ قَالُوا. No, there's no fasila. There's no gap between the musibah hitting you and then you making the statement. It comes to you, the problem, the difficulty, and as soon as it comes to you, you say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This is that true acceptance in your faith. And that is the true acceptance in your actions by you expressing your patience. True acceptance when you go and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your salah. Your first response. As-sadmatul ula, the first sadma when it hits you, because everybody is patient when somebody passes away after 3 days, after 10 days, after a month, everybody has this patience because they understand. But true patience is when it hits you, and that is when you show your iman, that is when you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is when you turn to your prayer and say, Allah, I accept everything that you have put my way. So this is the patience that we have to develop and instill within our lives, and immediately and always be ready to say, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. Not after days or weeks or hours or months and years, immediately say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Because why? When you do these things, that even something which is as difficult to digest as death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the next verse, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. That even when death hits you, it is a calamity, it is a test, it is a great trial and tribulation. But when you know that death is not the end, then that death becomes life for you as well. Because you know that person is alive in their grave. You know that person will be alive on the day of Qiyamah and be resurrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even death, you should always be ready to accept it wholeheartedly and be ready to show your patience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn to Allah azza wa jal in your salah. So there are 5 tests, unequivocal tests, that they are guaranteed that every single one of us will receive within our lifetime. And like I said at the beginning, whether you're a sheikh, whether you're an alim, whether it doesn't matter who you are, even if you are a prophet and a messenger, these 5 tests will come to you, rich or poor, young or old, no matter who you are, affluent or unknown. These 5 tests are guaranteed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, you might be afflicted by one, or you might be afflicted by 2, or by 3, or by 4, or by perhaps all 5 of them, which is the greatest test given to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His prophets and messengers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the following verse, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you in these 5 things. He will test you in fear. He will test you in hunger. He will test you in your wealth. He will test you in your life. And He will test you in your assets. Now every single one of us has different stages within our own personal lives. For those people who left their countries to come here out of fear, some form of fear that they came here, or perhaps you're living in fear even at this very moment in time. You're in fear, you have some form of jur, some form of poverty, some form of famine and hunger. You have some form of the loss of wealth, that you are suffering and you are struggling in some financial capacity. You are suffering with a loss of life, whether it is your own child or your parents or your siblings or those that you love, or thamarat, or your assets and the produce and various other things within your life. You will undergo some of these tests within your life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, always have faith, always be patient, and always turn to me. So we will be tested, and this is a promise from Allah azza wa jal. But look at how benevolent and how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Right at the beginning of that particular verse, He states, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Without a doubt, the lam there and the tashdeed as well, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so mercifully says, بِشَيْءٍ. What? Bishay, not bikulli, but bishayim, that with a little bit of fear will come into your life. A portion of hunger will come in your life. A portion of the loss of wealth and the loss of life and the loss of assets will come into your life. So you will suffer that, whether you're in a developed country, whether you're in a third world country, whether you are well known or you are unknown. We will all taste some of these things, but a small portion. a little bit of these things. But ask yourselves, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, bishayim, choti ji, bishayim, a small portion of this, then ask yourself, what is your reaction when you have some fear in your life? Do you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, or do you question and doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you have hunger and poverty, do you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Ar-Razzaq, or do you go and become flustered and run around? When you have a loss within your wealth, how do you do when all of these things are just a tiny fraction of the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is placing your way? What are your reactions to all of these five tests? Does it strengthen your iman? Does it instill more patience and sabr within you? Does it bring you closer to your Lord in your salah, in your ibadah? Or are you running a mile and doubting every single thing in your life because a loved one has gone, because you've lost your wealth, or you are suffering in other ways mentally or emotionally, or you're suffering and you have poverty? How is your reaction when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who said at the beginning, come to me and take these three steps towards me, your iman and your patience and your salah, and I will remove all of these things within your life. So now we come on to my connection that I expressed at the beginning, how all of this is connected to the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. So we all know this statement, and we repeat the statement all the time, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But have we ever truly pondered upon its deep meaning? What it actually means, that you are making this unequivocal statement, this acceptance within yourself, and you are saying that I, and whatever you are, and whatever you stand for, whatever you supposedly own, I belong in my entirety to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My spouse, my partner, my children, my wealth, my business, my health, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we took a little bit back of the health and the wealth and the provisions and the life and all of these things, then he is the right, because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the owner. He can take whatever he wants, whenever he wants, because he is the owner. We have only been given this as a gift, part-time gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you make this statement in times of calamity, truly understand and do not be upset at that particular thing, but strengthen your iman and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in patience and establish more salah and more ibadah in your life. So the comfort that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to these people who take those three steps, and these people who make this statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassures them and comforts them and says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. That these people who accepted my decree, these people who strengthened their iman and their patience and their ibadah, and these people who made the statement, for these specific people, my salawat is upon them, my praise is upon them, my rida is upon them, my mercy is upon them, and these are the true people, the definitive people who are guided. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So always ask yourself, what are your reactions to all of the calamities and the trials and tribulations that come your way? Are you truly guided? Are you truly patient? Are you the ones who truly receive the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you the ones who truly accept that statement when you say that you and everything about you and everything that is connected to you belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when these particular ayat, they finish, then we have a very, very interesting ayah that follows on. It's a very dramatic and very different ayah that continues. And it doesn't seem like there's a logical connection to the previous ayah, to this particular ayah. Because after this ayah completes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. That indeed Safa and Marwa, they are from the sha'air, from the great signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an ayah that perplexed me for quite some time, that how is it that before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about patience and faith and salah, talking about all of these trials and tests of hunger, of fear and poverty and wealth and all of these things, and how does this connect to this particular verse of Inna Safa wal Marwata min Sha'airillah? So I want to go back to that particular connection that I mentioned at the beginning, that we're in the month of Zulhijjah, we're talking about the trials and the tests Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. So we know that Safa and Marwa and Hajj itself, it revolves around three central people, which is Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Hajar, and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. These three distinct individuals, Hajj and the Sha'air of Hajj, revolve around these three particular people. So Sayyidina Hajar, she was tested with all of these five things that we've just discussed. She was tested with fear, and she was tested with hunger, and she was tested with wealth, and she was tested with her life, the life of her child, and she was also tested with her assets. When Ibrahim alayhi salam took his wife and took his family to this desolate, this barren valley where there was absolutely nothing whatsoever, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. Look at, try to reflect on these five things now. There was this great fear. Why? Where are they? They're in the middle of nowhere. A barren land, a valley with absolutely no safety whatsoever from the wildlife or from any other people. No safety whatsoever. That fear. Imagine yourself in that position. How would you feel? Somebody just dropped you in the middle of two mountains, absolutely nowhere. No shops, no signs, no GPS, no nothing. How would you feel with a child? She had this hunger because she was seeking water and food, going between Safa and Marwa again and again and again. She had no wealth to her hands either. There were no shops there, no resources where she could just swipe and get something ordered for herself or for her child. And she had this great fear of the loss of life, because there was nobody there. She would potentially die. Her child would potentially die. There was no life, no sign of life around her. No people, no home, no civilization. And neither did she have any produce or any assets to her as well. She was there alone. No crops. Absolutely nothing. Whereas all of us, within our lifetime, we will just be tested with one or the other in increments. Whereas Sayyidina Hajar at that time with her son and Ibrahim alayhi salam, they were tested with all five simultaneously by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in spite of all of those calamities, all of those trials, she kept her faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She remained patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in her salah, which is her prayer, her call to Allah azza wa jalla. So just try to imagine you today, in the 21st century, going somewhere and just dropping your wife and your child in the middle of nowhere, with no shelter and no food and no protection and no safety, none of these things, especially a child that you have been waiting for your entire life. At 90 years of age, how would you feel? Would you be able to test your own wife potentially with all of these five things? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed this. And the only conversation that we have recorded is that when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was leaving his wife at that particular moment, she turned to him and she said to him, Ya Ibrahim, O my beloved husband, Allahu amaraka bihada? Has our most benevolent, most kind, most merciful Lord, the one that I have faith in, has He ordered you to do this, to leave me here with all of these five tests? Qala na'am. And he said, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me to do this. And then she replied, قَالَتْ إِذَنْ لَا يُضَيِّعُنَا. Therefore, I do not need to worry whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not disappoint us. She had faith. She didn't care about the fear. She didn't care about the hunger. She didn't care about anything else. Why? Because she knew she had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with her. She knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not abandon her or her son, even though they're in this seemingly valley. So say the Hajar, because of her faith, and because of her patience, and because of her ibadah, and her turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she changed and she transformed her tests into something beautiful. And this is something that we need to learn as well. That these tests that come from Allah Azza wa Jal, they're there to challenge you, to change you, to transform you, to check your faith, to check your iman, to check your patience, and to check whether you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal or you turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There she was in the middle of nowhere, and she kept her faith and her patience and her iman and her salah. And what was the result? All of her five tests then became rewards for her. were and for all of humanity, for us all here today. Why? Because before there was fear. بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ زِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. But then when she had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. Whoever enters now into Mecca because of this woman's faith, they will be safe. They will have no fear for themselves, for their life, for their well-being whatsoever. Is there any hunger today in Mecca? None whatsoever. Because every time a haji goes on hajj, or you go in the state of umrah, and you do something wrong, you have to give adam, and you have to sacrifice something, and feed people in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you have a shortage of wealth in Mecca today? No. It is the most expensive real estate in the world, wherever you go. Do you have a shortage of people? Before there was no life, no. 24/7, 365 days a year, there are millions and millions of people, and that area is never abandoned. It is full of life. Do you have a shortage of assets there in Mecca at this time? No. You have hundreds of varieties of shops and food and zamzam and products. So see how this woman and her faith, her iman, her patience and her actions transformed. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. She transformed all of those for what we have here today for us because of her iman. Because she said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And she received the hadaya from Allah Azza wa Jal, and you received the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, no matter what trial, what tribulation, what difficulty that you are going in all of those five things that I've mentioned, don't despair, don't lose hope, strengthen your iman, turn to Allah, accept it and be patient, persevere and turn to Him in worship, and you can change your tests into a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.